Huh? Charlie Burr. Take your Bibles, go to Romans. Go to Genesis chapter 50 and Romans 8:28. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. You can go there first. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. God is good. God is good. I heard somebody say it all the time. God's good. Okay. I had a couple different messages this weekend prepared, and God seemed fit to wreck all those. And so really we're just going to go out on this limb with God today about God being good, but different than what you think. Because everybody in here that's saved and born again, you should know that God is good. You'll know He's good because He came to your rescue when you needed rescue the most. Because when you get saved, the day you get saved is your worst and best day. It's the day you find out you're guilty before God, and if you die, you're going to hell. But the great part of it is you realize Jesus came to save you that day, and you receive. And I'll talk about that in a moment. But then after your salvation, you can get into these little ruts in life where you don't realize how good God is. Because God met you on your worst day. And then if we're not careful, we can get into a situation where we only meet God on our bad days. Amen? In our emergencies, in our storms, in our problems, in our issues. When we're really struggling, we'll have a tendency to come to God then. But I'm here to tell you this morning, God's good when things are good, just like He is when things are bad. In Genesis 50 and verse 20, well, the reason I wrote that down, that wasn't part of the message, and probably about 50% of this will not be part of the message, I guess. Toby Mack. Do y'all a little bit know about who Toby Mack is? Like, you know some of the songs that he writes? They're very upbeat. They're worship. My favorite Toby Mac song is Till the Day I Die, right? I turn it really loud up in my car, and I drive pretty fast. Not on these mountain roads, mind you. And it's one of them songs where you just want to run full speed for God and till you burn it all the way out, till you run it all the way down, till you're all the way done, right? It's one of my favorite songs. And Toby Mack wrote upbeat Christian music, and he was running wide open. If you ever go to a Toby Mack concert, you will not sit down. You will not sit there and go. You will be on your feet. You'll be screaming and hollering. It's him and Crowder are probably the two. Man, I love seeing a Crowder concert. You'll sweat at a Crowder concert. But anyway, during that song, he'll lift a flag up and run through the crowd. It's like a 50-foot flag, till the day I die, right? And this song right here, he sung Help Us on the Way after his son committed suicide. In the midst of worshiping God and praising God in his best days, till the day I die. When he wrote, till the day, I'm going to serve God until the day I die. I'm going to go wide open no matter what, no matter what happens. You could add to that sentence right there, as far as you know. Because sometimes you don't know what life can hand you. Guys, I'm preaching to you. You know this stuff already. There is no telling what life can deliver to you in your time. And you can say stuff when everything's going well. And if you really find out who God is, you'll be able to lift your hand when things aren't going well. You'll be able to praise Him when you think everything's against you. You'll be able to pray Him when you think God's against you. Genesis 50 reads like this, "But as for you, you thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive." Whew. If you know who penned, who said this, who spoke this, it was Joseph. Joseph was sold into slavery by his family. I didn't understand that when I first started preaching. I do now. Some of you, if you're over the age of 40 in here, every once in a while when I say something like that, just go, "Amen, brother." Because some of you have had more trouble with your family than anybody else, especially about your faith. You joined Christ and you followed Christ and you trusted Christ, and a lot of the rest of your family didn't. And every time something goes one way or the other, they always look at you and say, "What are you going to do now? What about Jesus now? What about God now? He's good. What you meant for evil, God meant for good, to save many people alive." Joseph met, I guarantee you, Joseph knew about God when he was doing well, but he really found out who God was when he started going through the valley of life. But then guess what happened on the other side of the valley? Another mountaintop. Listen, guys, I'm preaching better than y'all are letting on right here. There's going to be valleys in your Christian walk. But there are going to be mountaintop experiences when you're going to be blessed, when the sun will come out, the depression will go away, the anxiety will disappear, the troubles, the financial woes will disappear. What are you going to do then? Joseph got pulled up into the palace from the prison. He left mommy and daddy and got sold into slavery by his brothers and took a nosedive for about 14 years. Anybody been here for a nosedive for about 14 years? We can't even have 14 minutes of a nosedive. He went down for 13 or 14 years straight down. I mean, every time he thought he was going to get to move up, he went further down. And you know what he found at the very bottom of his life? At the very pinnacle of the bottom. I'm talking about at the rock bottom of his life. You know what he found out? God's down here too. If you ain't never read the story of Joseph, God sent some guys down there to him who were going to get him out. God, I wish y'all would let me preach this morning. I so desire to. He let him go down into the prison, and he brought two guys down there who were going to help him break out. It only took him 2 years. It only took him 2 years after he met him. The baker and the wine taster. He goes, "Guys, when you get back up there to see Pharaoh, you let him know there's a little Hebrew guy down here who ain't, hey, I'm not guilty. I've not done anything wrong. I've tried to follow God all the way through my life, and it ain't done nothing but send me down into a downward spiral." And you know what? Joseph went from one day sitting in the prison, 2 years after he sent a message out to Pharaoh. Some of y'all are sitting there going, "Man, I don't know if I can handle that." Some of y'all are sitting here going, "I wish it had just been 2 years." And then one day Pharaoh had a dream. God, I wish y'all would let me. Pharaoh had a dream. Guess who the dream interpreter is? God. Guess who he used? Joseph. Guess where he was? In his prison, in Pharaoh's prison. The baker said, oh yeah, the wine taster goes, I know a guy. Where do you know him from? Remember that time you got mad at us and put us in prison? I met a dreamer down there. Golly, I wish. I might not get to the rest of the message. I might not. I don't know. I met a dreamer. Where at? Prison. I met a dreamer. I met somebody who was still speaking for God in such ways, in such confidence, in such power. I met him in prison. Would you still be talking about God if you were in prison? That you didn't do anything wrong? You done everything right? You were the person who wasn't going to sleep with somebody else's wife. You weren't going to take a bribe. You weren't going to do it wrong. You weren't going to lie. You weren't going to cheat. You weren't going to steal. And then at one point in your life, your dad actually sent you out to correct everybody else because he knew they were doing it wrong. But he's still at the near end of his life and at the end of his run going downward, he was still talking favorably about God. No, let me go a little bit deeper. Some of y'all, when Joseph was down there, the two had a quandary. Are we going to make it out of here? You know what Joseph did? Joseph says, I don't have nothing but time. He could have been bitter. He could have been angry. He could have been mad. He was in prison for no fault of his own. He interpreted these two guys' dreams for him, even though they couldn't do anything for him at the time. He was sharing his gift when he could have just bottled it up and kept it in. But instead, he shared it. And these two guys left for 2 years. I would have been on this, man, I gave him such a powerful word and it took him 2 years to respond. I'd help some of you that are teachers and preachers. Don't always be looking for quick responses. I'll say it again. Stop looking for instant responses. Stop thinking that your ministry or whatever you do for God has to have something that happens tomorrow. Because for some people, it will take months, years, and even decades for the seed to really set in. Amen? Because sometimes we think, man, if we don't get it today, if we didn't have it, you mean nobody came forward today, nobody got saved today, nobody got, no, listen, praise God, God's working. Amen? And God brought, see, he couldn't bring him up to Pharaoh before it was what? Before it was time. See, Pharaoh had a dream. See, if he had came up any too early, Pharaoh wouldn't have needed him. But Pharaoh needed him to interpret a dream. So the same dreamer, the same one who can interpret dreams through God, was in the prison, and he brought him up, and guess what? He became the second. We'll just cancel that. He became the most important and most powerful person in the whole world at that time. God, he went from a place of prison to a place of power within about 24 hours. All of a sudden, he is the most powerful person in the world. He went from the lowest valley to the highest mountain, and guess what he was? He didn't lose God in the transition. Because when he got the control and the power over his brothers, he didn't kill them, he forgave them. He didn't destroy them, he fed them. He didn't become a place of get away. He became a refuge. God, guys, I'm preaching to you guys on this because it's easy to be a Christian when everything's going your way. It's easy to be a Christian in the church. It's easy to be a Christian when you go to the doctor and they say you got a good report. It's good when your kids are doing well, when they're not doing anything wrong. But praise God, where will you be when they are not? When it is not? Because that's the key about being a Christian. God is good. Romans 8:28. Some of y'all know this verse. I won't even have to read it to you. I love breaking this verse down. Romans 8:28. I still hear pages turning. I'll let you get there. It's up on the board if you want to look at it. And we know, God, y'all might want to do some underlining and highlighting in your Bible right here. If you don't know better, this is a tool in a Christian's tool belt. This one right here should be on ready standby for just about everything that happens in your life. And we know, not think, not feel. I'm glad that word don't say feel. Amen? I get so wore out. People come to me, brother, I just don't feel like doing God. I just don't feel like God. I don't feel him in the service. I don't feel him when I pray. I don't feel him when I read. I don't feel, praise God, I'm going to tell y'all, the best times I've ever had with God is when I didn't feel him sometimes. No. Read the Bible, didn't feel him. Pray, didn't feel him. Came to church, didn't feel him. People say, man, what are you saying? That's the best times. Because you know what? I still know now God loves me just as much then as he did before. He loves me. He's for me just like then as he is before then. Praise God. He's with us. He's for us. Even when we can't feel it. Matter of fact, I believe he's there more when we don't feel it because we keep walking for him instead. And we know, watch this, that all things, some of y'all need to underline that word all. All things work together for the good to them that love God. to them who are called according to his purpose. Let's talk about Joseph on that other side. When you're on the other side, when you're on that peak, when you're in the good time, when the sun comes out and it's shining and you're having the best days of your life, that's when you get to learn who God really is too. Amen? He's good in relationship. Let me put an S on that. He's good in relationships. He makes family relationships better. He makes marriages better. He makes dating better. He makes friendships better. Amen? He makes good times better because you don't have to regret the good times. Amen? Since I've been saved, I'll go places and do things. I don't ever have to go, man, what did I do? What did I say? Oh, my gosh, what did I do? You know what? I just go, man, I had a good time. And I love people say, well, I don't even think it's any fun to be a Christian. You ain't been a Christian long enough to know. If you don't know, it ain't fun to be a Christian. It is. I have more fun as a Christian than I did when I was lost. Amen? I have more fun. You know what? I know what fun is. It's funny what the world calls fun and what it really is fun. Amen? Losing your house, losing your wife, losing your kids, losing your husband, losing your job, losing everything. That's not fun. That feels fun for a minute, but then when you have to pay for it. Amen? Oh, that's another word for another day. Go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 4, sorry. Philippians chapter 4, verse 12. Paul says this the best right here, and I didn't know what this meant for a long time, but I do now. Philippians 4, 12 and 13. 13 is probably one of the most popular verses in the Bible. We probably covered two of the most popular verses in the Bible other than John 3, 16 this morning. Philippians chapter 4, verse 12. I know, what's this right here? I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. That means I know how to be at the lowest point and I know how to be at the highest point. Somebody needs to underline that and put a note right there. I know how to be the lowest of lows and the highest of highs. I feel like in here, if I'm speaking to the right crowd, there's some of you know how to do real well and some of you don't. Some of you know how to do real bad and some of you don't. Amen? You know what Paul says? I've learned how to abound and be abased. I've learned when I'm up on the mountaintop, God's good, I'm going to praise him up there. And when I'm at the very bottom, at the low, and I have nothing, I'm still going to praise him there too. Amen? So no matter where, listen, up there or down here, no matter what, God, I'm going to praise him in both places and everywhere in between. And let me say this, there's a lot of places in between. Amen? There's a lot of places in between. We're not always up way up on the mountain. We're not always down in the lowest valley. Sometimes we're a lot of times in the middle, right? But guess what I've learned? Look at this right here. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both abound and to suffer need. Good Lord. This is mature Christianity 101. It's just straight. This is not feel good. This is not emotion. This is not us running around shouting. This is us doing this right here. Hey, when I'm doing really well and I can forget about God, I need to remember I'm doing well because of God. And when I don't have nothing, and I'm being abased, and I think everything's broke, and nothing's getting fixed, and everything's upside down, and the world's against me, then I need to praise God because he's put me in that situation, because he needed me in that situation. Man, I don't know how to really explain this to you unless you go through it with God, but God is this way. God is so good when he takes you into the good place at showing you his character. Showing you who he really is. Amen? You can follow him. You find out that he loves you no matter what. If you reside in heaven, he loved you. If you reside in hell at the end of this life, he loved you. Some of y'all go, how is that? Because you're going to remember every single time throughout this whole life that God came after you. God sent you some places and met you at others. God met you in some places. That means at your job, at your work, school, in life, God just showed up through a person and shared himself with you. And then sometimes he sent you to places like he sent you this morning. And here you are sitting in the church house And he's telling you, I love you again. Amen? And he told you just enough of the truth. What's the truth? You're all going to pass away. You're all going to stand before me in the end of this life and give an account for your life. I have made a way for you to get away, to get out of hell. That is to be saved by what my son did at Calvary's cross. Ain't that amazing? So no matter when you fall in love with God, this is the great thing. When you really fall in love with him, I have found out over the last couple of years that I know God's character, how rich it is and how full it is, that when I go through things, that praise God, he's in it with me. And guess what? Sometimes, when I say that abound part and that abase part, sometimes God will allow you to go through a storm in life for somebody else to have a sunny day. Whew. Now, this one's hard to preach, and I don't think this is going to get us anywhere as far as us walking out here going, man, I got goosebumps and Holy Spirit. I don't know if we're going to do that today, but I do know this, that sometimes God will strategically place you in front of somebody who thinks their life is doing great, and he will make your life miserable right in front of them. There was a rich man in Lazarus. Amen? There was a rich man in Lazarus. This rich man, it says, he fared sumptuously. Just think about this. He did good every day. He did well every day. Could you imagine living your life in such a way that you've done good every day? And then Lazarus. Somebody laid him at his gate. He was unable to go for himself. Could you imagine not being able to go for yourself? Think about it. Anybody in here been disabled at one point or disabled to a point where you're like, my gosh, I can't do some things. Listen to this. Lazarus was so sick that somebody had to take him and lay him outside of a gate to beg. Just think about that. Now most of your life is begging. All we know about the rich man is he fared some sort of, didn't have a want for anything. And there was a guy that he got to see on a regular basis who was paralyzed and was begging. And this is one of the best right here. And the dogs licked his sores. You got to have some pretty bad sores to let a dog lick on them. And you not be able to stop it. They got to be noticeable. They got to be exposed. I know it's a thought process, but I want you to get to it. I want you to get a little bit deeper than what we normally get in Luke chapter 16. I want you to think about this. This man was paralyzed. This man was a beggar. This man had animals licking on the sores of his life. God set him outside that gate for one reason and one reason only. I need some contrast. God don't always need your voice. He doesn't always need you to do. Sometimes he just needs you to be somewhere and give a little contrast by somebody who needs to see different. The rich man just needed to see something different. He had everything. There was a man that laid outside of his gate that most of us couldn't handle that ministry. Would anybody sign up for that ministry tomorrow? If we laid out all the criteria, can't walk, can't sit up, you'll be a beggar, so there's not much there. So whatever you get from begging is what you're going to get. And you know what he begged for if we get into the scriptures a little deeper? He begged for the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. Good. We get upset if we don't get the very best of anything. If we don't get, could you imagine if somebody brought us from the scraps from the kitchen? At the restaurant that we eat at, we would have a fit. But this man would have begged for him. But then the dog, then you think he's hurt. He's hurting. He's sores mean sore. I know this message right here, this is not, man, I didn't know where God was going with it, but I already know now, man. This ain't no hallelujah, praise God, sign me up thing. But guess what he was saying? I need somebody who loves me more than their circumstances. I need somebody who loves me more than their stuff. I love somebody who can see the bigger picture. This is just a temporary world, and there is one that comes that is a great place to be. Good gracious. Sometimes we want ministries. I want some. Oh, God, send me. Put me on the stage. Put me on the platform. Give me the microphone. Let me sing. Let me shout. All that. So, praise God. How about one that's so powerful that you don't have to say a word? Excuse me. Could I get some scraps off your table? Get off. Hey, get off me. Get off. Could I get some? Could I just get a few? I don't care what it is. I'm just hungry. I'm just hungry. And my family left me out here because they know you've got plenty. I know it's a burden on you, and I hate to be here. This guy, he's got everything that he ever wanted every single day. But he said, man, I love my family. I appreciate them setting me out here to where I could get something. I could be useful in a certain way. And then all of a sudden, he goes, you know what? And I don't really appreciate the dogs, but at least there's some company out here because I'm out here all day usually by myself. I'm glad God sent them along to do that. And I am grateful everything you get me. I wonder sometimes that when he brought some scraps out there to him and he put them in his hands that he didn't go like this. Oh, man. There you go again, God. Blessing me. I'm going to eat again today. Thank you, Jesus. I bet many times he walked back into his mansion or whoever brought the food out there to him told him, man, that dude's out there praising God. He's out there praising God for the scraps that we were going to throw away or feed those old mangy dogs that are licking on him. What a crazy ministry. But it just so happens. Them two guys died on the same exact day. The same day. They both died. And the rich man was buried, probably in the greatest tomb. Probably in the greatest tombs, probably near where Jesus was buried. But guess what it says about Lazarus? It don't even mention him being buried. Man, we could probably preach right here for about 2 or 3 hours. It don't, to God, your burial don't even mean nothing. Because his spirit, as soon as it left the body, guess what it said? It was carried away. Whoo! To Abraham's bosom. Abraham's bosom. I don't care where you think that is. I don't care what you think it is. All I know is this. It's better than going to the opposite spectrum, which is a place called hell and torment. He went where God is. So praise God. Where all the people who love God, that's where this guy showed up. Lazarus shows up in eternity. Man, I wish y'all would get this right. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, I mean, David, all the great saints that we read about and go, man, I wish I was David. Boy, to be Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How about when this guy walked through the door? Hey, Lazarus. Hey, boys. I don't think I could have done what you did. You laid out there in front of that gate, man. You still love God? You still praise God? You still got into eternity? But when eternity rolled around, the rich man became the sick man, the beggar, and his body was in torment. And he asked Jesus, he asked Abraham, he said, could you send Lazarus over here just to touch my tongue with a drop of water? I don't care if they live to 100 years. That flip right there means everything. They went into eternity together. And eternity is mighty long, 10,000 years as it just began. And he became a beggar in eternity. He became sick in eternity. He became wanting in eternity. And Lazarus became whole, became well, became satisfied, became nothing like a beggar in eternity. Lazarus would say something like this, I would have spent 100 more years on earth if I could spend eternity here with my God. Amen? I like what the rich man said. I love what the rich man says. You know what the rich man said? Could you send Lazarus back to my 5 brothers? Ain't that amazing? If we could have revival, real revival, in America or the world today? Real revival. You know who I'd want to preach it? The rich man. The rich man. And if I didn't have him preach it, I would have him sign up the preacher who was. Because you know what he said? I was rich. Had everything I wanted. And my five brothers are going to be wanting everything that I got. He said, if I could send one message out of hell today, I would tell them about this place. Because I want you to hear something. If somebody could send a preacher back from eternity, not out of heaven, out of hell, they would preach a message. Could you imagine in 2022 if we just had a revival and the only thing it was about was a place called hell and do not come here. It is awful. It is the worst. You wouldn't want to be here. Don't come here. Tell every one of my brothers to sell all they have and get what Lazarus had. Because Lazarus had a relationship with Jesus. It is impossible to please God without faith. So somewhere along the line, Lazarus said, I'm doing all right. I've got Jesus. I've got the promises of God. And as long as I'm here, I'll trust in Him more than I'll trust in anything. There was a man who didn't have any of those worries. Some of y'all are going through life, you don't have any real worries. I want to put one on your radar. Worry about where you're going to spend eternity. Think about it. Consider it. Because not too long from now, you're going to blink and you're going to be older. You're going to blink and you're going to be thinking, man, I couldn't believe I'm 50. I can blink. I can't believe I'm 60. Blink. I can't believe I'm 70. Blink. I can't believe I'm 80. I can't believe I'm about to go into eternity. And some of you won't even make it that long. We look at people in here and we say, that's a young person and that's an old person. Not according to God. Some of you might have less time than somebody who's at the end of the winter of their life. We don't get to pick the time for everybody. I'm going to tell you like the rich man would tell you. There's a place called hell. Don't go there. It's worse than you think it is. It's longer than you think it is. And it's not worth going. And there's one way out. Put all your trust and faith in Jesus Christ. Call out to Him from the worst place. Amen? From your sin. The Bible says it best in Romans 6:23, so for the wages of sin is death. That's the only thing. When I first got saved, that's the only thing I could understand. I've been a working guy. I started working when I was about 13 years old. I went into real work, real hard work when I was about 14 or 15. And then I got a full-time job when I was about 16. So I've always understood this verse really good. Because I never worked one job that I didn't know when that paycheck was coming. When do we pay? Well, we pay every Friday or we pay every 2 weeks. And guess what? On Friday, guess what I went to work for? How many, and what do? I know I'm going to date myself right here. We had a thing called a time card. Weird, weird thing. Old thing. You put it in this machine that stamped it. And at the end of the week, they took that thing and all them times you punched in and out, they tallied up how much money you were going to get. And you knew and they knew how much you were going to get. Amen? So when I got saved for the first time and I read this verse, for the wages of sin is death, I understood it. What I've worked for, I'm going to earn. I deserve death. I have lied, I have stole, I took God's name in vain, I broke all the commandments. So there's no doubt, my paycheck, what I have earned, but the gift of God. In that same verse, Romans 6, but the gift, golly, no, listen, but the gift of God. Whew. Woo. the gift shows up and gives you eternal life through Jesus Christ. Watch this right here. Instead of giving you the paycheck that you deserve, the gift shows up. This is right. In the Bible, salvation is only referred to as a gift, never a reward, ever. So when the gift shows up, right, he says he takes the payday on Calvary for what you did. He took what you deserved, and he took the payday for your sin. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And he gives you a gift on your worst day. When you should receive your punishment, he says, I'll take that, and you take the gift. You get eternal life, I'll take the punishment. In our case, I took the punishment, you get eternal life. Whew. That's the only paycheck in my lifetime that I didn't want. I'm glad I didn't receive. And I'll spend about 1,000,000 years in eternity at the feet of Jesus. Those scarred feet saying thank you for taking the payment that I was owed. And I thank you for the free gift when I didn't deserve it. Free gift showed up all the way through the Bible. If you check Luke chapter 8, there was a demonic man. The free gift showed up on his worst day. Naked, cutting himself, living in the tombs. He had a demon. He had a legion of devils in him. He met Jesus. You don't really meet Jesus on a worse day than that. When you run down to the shoreline, and you ain't got a stitch of clothing on, you've been cutting yourself all night, and you've lived in the tombs, and you look like a maniac, and you're full of the devil. And Jesus simply took his payday and gave him his. And then right after that, he meets a woman who had that issue of blood. Right after that crossover, he meets a woman with the issue of blood. Worst day. A demon-possessed man, then he meets somebody who's got a physical ailment for about 12 years of her life, spent all that she had. On his way to what? A little girl who had passed away. The dad come and got him. So Jesus can handle a demon-possessed, sick person, and a dying person. And all of them asking Jesus to come help. And he says, you know what? These are your worst days, and I can handle them. Every one of those people, when you get to heaven, when you do, if you do, if you're born again and you get to heaven, guess what's going to happen? You're going to run into all those same people. You're going to run into them. Guess what? When you run into them, you know what they're going to say? That one guy, he's going to say, I'm glad I was demon-possessed. What? You're glad that you got demon-possessed? Yep. Otherwise, I wouldn't have met Jesus. I found out his character. On my worst day, he met me. That woman, the issue of blood, spent all he had, went all to the doctors. You'll run into her in heaven. You'll come up to her and say, man, that was so terrible. What happened to you? Best thing ever could have happened to me. After I spent all I had and didn't have anything else, that drove me to a place, to my feet. It drove me to my knees, and I reached out and touched Jesus. And I got into heaven. Best day ever had. Thank you for the 12 years of sickness. How about the little girl that died? Ooh. Her daddy will be like, thank God for my little girl dying. If not, none of us would have been saved. Jesus was right on time. Amen? God will meet you on your best days and your worst days. Some of y'all, you say it, and I love it. God is good. But if you'll ever fall in love with him, you'll find he's good all the time. I'm telling you, if he places you on the worst ministry you've ever had, when you look broken and disappointed to the whole world, but you're pleasing to him, you'll sit there in your own stuff and say, man, God, you're good. Let's all stand.